The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Mark. When the Sabbath was over, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint him. And very early on the first day of the week, when the sun had risen, they went to the tomb. And they had been saying to one another, "Who will roll away the stone for us from the entrance to the tomb?" But when they looked up, they saw that the stone, which was very large, had already been rolled back. And as they entered the tomb, they saw a young man dressed in a white robe sitting on the right side, and they were alarmed. But he said to them, "Do not be alarmed. You are looking for Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He has been raised. He is not here. Look, there is the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going ahead of you to Galilee. There you will see him, just as he told you." So they went out and fled from the tomb, for terror and amazement had seized them. And they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. The Gospel of the Lord.
In the name of one God who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen. I love the resurrection story that we hear today in the Gospel of Mark because, well, it's just so Markian. See, for nerds like me who love to study scripture, I remind you that the Gospel of Mark is the one that was likely written first, and it's the shortest, and it repeatedly uses the phrase immediately, and then immediately, and then immediately to move the story along, but also to express the urgency of the story and the message that is being told. And today's resurrection fits within that genre of Mark. In the early morning, the women were on their way to the tomb to prepare Jesus' body for burial. And they had their spices, and they knew most of what their plan was, but they hadn't worked out the details like, how are three women like us going to move that really large rock? But in true narrative fashion, they arrive and the stone has been rolled back and they find a young man in a white robe who is clearly not Jesus sitting in the tomb. The man tells them, "Jesus is not here," but they are to go and tell the others. The women are shocked, amazed, and terrified. They go away and they tell no one. The end. Period. No more. It's all, folks. Kind of leaves you in a cliffhanger, right? It's not like those other gospels where they say what happens. This leaves us at this moment. Now, for those of you who know the Gospel of Mark, there are two fake endings that have been tacked on because people could not stand the tension of not having the story finished in the way they wanted it to. But what we hear today is the end of the original gospel. And I like this version of the story because we don't actually see the resurrected Jesus. Kind of like us today, right? We never get to see the resurrected Jesus, and so I like this because it lives into where we are. But I also like this version because Jesus isn't standing around waiting for someone to discover that he's alive. Jesus has work to do, and he's not waiting around in bed to get up and get started. You know how when your alarm goes off in the morning and you're like, oh, I really don't want to. No, Jesus is like, he's the one who like hits the alarm and it's like, let's go. You know, he's off and running. There is no hitting the snooze button with him. Jesus had to go. He had resurrection work to do now. And he wasn't waiting around to tell people. He was getting started immediately. Telling people the good news of his resurrection was the job of his followers, starting with those women who, even though terrified, clearly did tell someone at some point, because we've had the story handed down to us today. Telling people the good news of Jesus' life and resurrection was the job of his followers then. And as we stand on the shoulders in the faith of those exact followers, we too are called to share in the good news. We baptized 3 people at our early service, and today we will renew our own baptismal vows and maybe even get sprinkled with water to remember that we are all part of Christ's community. And as a part of our baptism, one of the 5 things that we promise is proclaim by work and example the good news of God in Christ. To proclaim by word and example the good news of God in Christ. And this is our vow to God, as well as we also promise to support one another in our good news telling efforts. You see, spreading the good news was the work that Jesus was doing before and after his death and resurrection. But how are we to do this? Spreading the good news isn't something that we just do on a Sunday morning in the middle of worship. Dare I say, spreading the good news takes something called grit. Now, some of you may not know, but grit is the new in thing right now. It's being talked about in education and in military and in sports and in people who are doing doctoral studies. Grit is everywhere. And I was reading about grit this past week in the Washington Post sports section, as it was talking about teams in March Madness. And the only way for teams to get through a tournament this intense, whether you win or lose, I hear we have some Badgers fans in the house. Sorry, Kentucky. But whether they win or lose, teams advance because they have grit. And grit is being studied not only by teams, but by neurobiologists who are trying to figure out how some people have the ability to engage in deliberate practice and to work hard not just at what you know, but what you don't know. They talk about a basketball player who is extremely gifted with his right hand, but he worked hours and days and weeks and months to improve his left-hand game so that he could be more versatile out on the floor and be a better player. He had grit because he deliberately practiced what he knew he wasn't good at while keeping up his skills in what he was. They say grit is a growth mindset through a deliberate practice. Grit is a growth mindset through a deliberate practice. And doesn't that just sound like what we are called to do as Christians? Aren't we called to deliberately grow through practice and discipline? I believe, in fact, I don't believe, I know that through our baptism, you and I are called to be Christians with grit. Christians who deliberately, who purposely spread the good news of Jesus. And we don't do that just by coming to church on a Sunday morning, although that is important. Being a follower of Christ with grit, boldly sharing the good news, takes more work than just showing up. Grit means going out on a limb to share the stories of Jesus, to share them in your home or maybe in your workplace or maybe with people who have asked for help, I don't know, but we share the stories of how Jesus healed. We share the stories of what Jesus taught. We share the story, the most important story, of how Jesus took away death and has brought us into everlasting life through his own death and resurrection. Grit means engaging your faith. It means following and living out your belief in Christ. Grit is coming to laundry love as we, our parish, provide the opportunity for homeless to wash their laundry. And it's not just about putting soap in the washer, although, Darren, you're really good at that. It's about actually talking to the people who were there. It's giving that person, it's ordering pizza for the person who had no idea where their next meal was coming from. Grit is making food for Family Promise as we support other churches in our area to end homelessness with families. Grit is making sandwiches on Tuesday mornings for those with HIV, and it's serving dinner every month at Neighbor to Neighbor. Grit means telling people that you are a Christian and committing. And yes, I mean committing to living your life differently because you believe. In your heart of hearts, you believe that the story we hear today is true and important and life-changing. Grit means doing everything you can, from your words to your actions to your prayers, to keep your relationship with God alive. You need grit to be a Christian. It's not easy to feed the homeless. It's not easy to tithe. It's not easy sometimes to wear a cross or say your prayers in a place where people will notice. It's not easy in our busyness to make time for God. And yet, that's exactly what we are called to do through the witness of the death and resurrection of Jesus. You see, there's no further ending to the gospel today because I believe the writer knew that it is up to us. It is up to us, the followers gathered here in our church, along with Christians around the world. It is up to us to continue the story of the risen Christ. The ending to the story is how we live out our faith each and every day. How we live it out with prayer, with community, and through our deliberate practice that brings us into closer relationship with God. We are to live as Christians with grit. Grit for spreading the good news of the resurrected Christ. Hallelujah.